Violent Volcanoes and Earth-Shattering Earthquakes. Read by Vienna Vince. Written by Anita Gennari. Violent Volcanoes. Introduction. Geography can be horribly boring. I mean, who wants to know about burying old maps and burying old rocks and what burying old farmers grow in their fields? Don't forget your geography homework. I'll never get this on the bus. The best bits of geography are the hairy bits, the bits your teacher's bound to leave out. Try this simple experiment. Jump up and down on the spot. It's an experiment to do with volcanoes, I think. Well, he looks ready to explode. The earth you live on may feel solid as a billion old rock, but underneath it's all warm and wobbly. Red-hot rocks and geasly gases churn away beneath your feet until one day they can't take the pressure any longer and burst to the surface with a bang. This is how you get violent volcanoes, one of the most horribly interesting bits of geography ever. You might notice the same sort of thing happening with your geography teacher, only on a slightly smaller scale. And that's what this book is all about. More powerful than a nuclear bomb, hotter than the hottest oven, more temperamental than your little brother, when a volcano blows its top, it's brilliant, mind-boggling, and a red-hot topic, and it certainly isn't boring. In Violent Volcanoes, you can let your volcano erupt from a safe distance. How far is a safe distance? How about the next country? Find out why volcanoes smell of rotten eggs. Learn how to spot an active volcano. Train to be a volcanologist like me, Vic. And if all else fails, find out which saint to call on if you need saving from a lava flow. This is geography like never before, and it's terribly exciting. A very violent volcano. The day a mountain blew apart. It is the morning of May 18th, 1980. The dawn is bright and clear over the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, USA. For many months now, the perilous peak of Mount St. Helens has been shaken by a series of grumbling earthquakes. Smoke and ash from hundreds of minor explosions have covered the ice-capped mountain in an ugly cloak of black. For weeks, scientists have been monitoring an ominous bulge growing on the volcano's north side, a sure sign that magma deep below the earth is starting its ground, breaking journey upwards. Ominous bulge. As they watch, the bulge keeps going, relentlessly raising the intense pressure on the gases and magma inside the mountain. Something surely will have to give. A dormant volcano, Mount St. Helens, has not erupted in living memory. Now, after 123 years of silence, this sleeping giant seems to be stirring. To those who watch, it seems almost impossible that this beautiful mountain can be a violent killer. But then, the impossible happens. At 8:32 a.m., two scientists fly over Mount St. Helens. As they approach the summit, Alice Cullen. Seconds later, the mountain shakes with a huge earthquake, dislodging a massive avalanche of rock and ice. Before their eyes, the hidden north side of the mountain completely collapses and races downhill at full tilt. Worse is to come. The landslide releases the immense pressure which has been building up inside the mountain. Suddenly, the bulge bursts apart, upwards, outwards, and sideways, blasting out a thick black cloud of hot gas, ash, and rock many kilometers into the air. The summit of Mount St. Helens is completely shattered. The scientists have to act fast. The blast cloud is starting to bear down on them. They dive away to the south to safety. The cloud starts expanding to the east, north, and northwest at a speed that could easily overtake their small aircraft. Heading south, they are safer now, but any other direction would mean certain death. Behind them, the sky turns black at night. Black as night. Thick showers of ash fell like black rain from the clouds, and brilliant bursts of lightning shoot many kilometers into the air. For the next 9 hours, Mount St. Helens continues to erupt. Onlookers feel they've had a glimpse of hell. By evening, the worst explosions are over, but the volcano continues to erupt more gently for 4 more days. Then at last, it falls silent. 1 week later, there is another large eruption. Several smaller ones follow, but the main force is spent. Mount St. Helens has blown its top. Things will never be the same again. 10 earth-shattering facts about Mount St. Helens. 1. Before the 1980 eruption, Mount St. Helens stood 2,950 meters high. The eruption blew an incredible 400 meters off the top, which crashed down the mountainside as 8,000 million tons of rock. That's a lot of rock. Before, nice neat top. After, whopping great hood. 2. The land around Mount St. Helens had been a national park, popular with anglers, campers, and loggers. That has changed forever. On May 18th, in the space of just 5 to 10 minutes, the searing blast cloud, heavy with hot gas, ash, and rock, stripped bare the countryside in its path. Instead of thick green forests and clear blue lakes, lay a barren desert of gray ash. The cloud was so powerful that it uprooted every tree for 8 kilometers around, picking them up and tossing them aside. As a pilot flying overhead reported, it looked as if the cloud was so incredibly hot, between 100 and 300 Celsius, that it boiled the sap inside the trees. Wow. A giant had just combed his hair. 3. The heat of the blast cloud also melted the glaciers on the summit. Ash and mud that poured down the mountainside in great thick rivers of clogging mud. One flowed into the Toodle River, sweeping away people, homes, bridges, and hundreds of logs stored at a timber camp. So much mud poured into the Columbia River that it became too shallow for ships to sail and had to stay closed for weeks on end. And the river water became so hot that fish were seen leaping out of it. Hey, these fish are already cooked! There, one branch of the awesome avalanche of rocks and ice swept into nearby Spirit Lake, causing waves more than 200 meters high, 10 times taller than a house. But most of it raced into the Toodle River at speeds of 100 to 200 kilometers per hour. It was one of the largest landslides ever recorded. 5. The blast cloud of ash, dust, and gas rose 19 kilometers into the air. In 2 days, it had reached New York. In 2 weeks, it had traveled right around the world. Ash fell like snow on cities and fields up to 500 kilometers away from the volcano during day and night. Airports and roads were closed. In the city of Yakima, 150 kilometers away, the sewage works became clogged with ash and would not work. 6. Mount St. Helens began rumbling about 2 months before its eruption. Warning signs included more than 1,500 small earthquakes, which cracked the glaciers on the summit, followed by frequent bursts of steam and ash. Meanwhile, the village on its side was going up by 200 meters a day. Everything turned into a violent eruption, but when it came, the sheer suddenness and staggering force of the explosion took everyone by surprise. 7. Before the main eruption, hundreds of volcano lectures come to see the show. Souvenir stalls sprang up everywhere, selling anything from Mount St. Helens t-shirts to mugs, posters, and souvenir samples of ash. Even as late as March 31st, a group of people went by helicopter to the summit and began filming a beer commercial. Even today, you can buy glass Christmas tree decorations made from ash from that dreadful day. Mount St. Helens 3D jigsaws. Rocks are us. You've seen the eruption, now buy the t-shirt. 8. Scientists set up a 7-kilometer red zone around the mountain to protect people from danger, but it didn't go far enough. Of the 57 people killed that day, all but 3 were well outside the zone. The dead included campers, sightseers, and scientists. One scientist was engulfed by the blast cloud and choked to death as he leapt from a ridge 9 kilometers away. A worse death toll was only averted because the volcano blew so early in the day, and it was a Sunday. 9. Incredibly, though this was a horribly violent eruption, Mount St. Helens seemed to burst apart with barely a sound. The explosion happened so suddenly that the sounds were quickly carried far away. 10. The eruption of Mount St. Helens replaced its scenic snow-capped cone with a crater shaped like a horseshoe. But inside the crater, a new dome is growing. Already as tall as an 80-story building, it will one day fill the mountain and erupt all over again. The burning question is when. Brand new dome. If you compare Mount St. Helens to all the eruptions in the history of the Earth, it wasn't even particularly powerful. An eruption 5 times as big once hit Yellowstone Park, USA. When the rock and ash settled, it covered a third of the USA, but that happened about 2 million years ago, so you might think it doesn't count. Horrible hotspots. So who on Earth came up with the name volcano to describe a smoldering mountain that can explode? Well, there are different stories around the world to explain what causes volcanoes, but you can blame the actual name on the ancient Romans and their hot-tempered fire god, Vulcan. According to legend, Vulcan lived on the island of Volcano, inside a smoldering mountain. At a smoldering mountain, smoldering looks. At the smoldering, sparks and rumbling noises were caused by Vulcan's frantic activities. He was blacksmith to the gods. He made weapons for Mars. Twang. These are great. I'll take 2 dozen. armor for Hercules. Have you got it in the next size up? And Thunderbolts and Lightning for Jupiter. By Jupiter, these Thunderbolts go like the clappers. But Vulcan used his skills in other ways, too. For no good reason, Vulcan would pick on villagers and terrorize them with fire, lightning, lava flows, and explosions. I knew I should have stayed in bed. So which came first, Vulcan or Volcano? No one knows, but this name, tweaked a bit, stuck. What on earth are violent volcanoes? Ask someone to think of a volcano, and they're most likely to describe a neat cone-shaped mountain, gently breathing smoke. But volcanoes aren't always like that. Volcanoes are terribly different. Some spread out fire, others spew out clouds of steam, gas, and ash. Some volcanoes explode with a bang, others fizz quietly away. Some are flat or round or lie deep under the sea. Cone-shaped, underwater volcano. Flat top, island volcano. A fine, fiery fearsome. The best you can say is that all volcanoes are built by red-hot magma, liquid rock from deep inside the earth. When it bursts or seeps up through a crack in the ground, you know you're dealing with a volcano. How on earth do volcanoes happen? To find out, you'll need one earth in good condition with the largest chunk cut out. The earth looks rock solid, feels rock solid, and in many places it is rock solid, but not all the way down. The earth's made of layers, a bit like a really, really big onion. Except that peeling the earth, sniff, doesn't make you cry, sniff. You can't see these layers. Even your NOAA geography teacher can't see them. But these pictures might give you an idea of what they're like. They're journeying to the center of the earth. Do they know the way? Earth, the inside story. Layer 1, the crust. That's the bit you've been jumping up and down on. Just like the crust on a loaf of bread. It's the earth's outermost layer, made of terribly hard rock. On land, it's covered with soil, grass, cows, you name it. Under the sea, it's covered with, well, sea. It's pathetically thin, geographically speaking. About 30 kilometers on land, and a mere 6 to 10 kilometers on the seabed. But it's very strong, so you won't fall through. Layer 2, the manta. The next layer down is called the manta. Here, the rocks get so violently hot, they've partially melted into liquid rock called magma. It's thick and gooey like sticky treacle and simmers away to scorching 1,980 Celsius. That's hot when you think that a kettlebell is at 100 Celsius. And the hottest temperature inside a cooker is 250 Celsius. The mighty manta is about 2,900 kilometers thick and has nothing to do with the mantelpiece over your fireplace. Layer 3, the outer clear. Next layer down is the outer clear. It's about 2,200 kilometers thick and like a boiling hot sea of liquid metal, mostly iron and nickel. Layer 4, the inner clear. Right in the middle, a bit like the clear of an apple, but hotter. Much hotter. The mysterious center of the earth. The inner clear is a solid ball of iron and nickel, about 2,500 kilometers wide. It's solid because the other layers sitting on top of it are terribly, terribly heavy, and it's an unbelievable 4,500 Celsius hot. Cracking up. Back on the surface, the Earth's creaking crust is a single slab of rock. In fact, it's cracked into 7 enormous and 12 less enormous chunks called plates, but not the sort you eat your school dinner from. It's like a sort of crazy paving on an unbelievably massive scale. The chunks of crust float or drift about on the magma in the manta below. This is how it happens. 1. The Earth's hot core heats up the magma. 2. As it's heated, it gets lighter and rises. 3. Near the surface, it cools and gets heavier than sinks. 4. These swirling movements called currents keep the magma moving on the crusty plates on their toes. They are shoved, jostled, pulled, and pushed. Danger zones. Wait. P.S. To be horribly technical, the way the plates move is called continental drift, but you can leave bearing details like this to your teacher. Danger zones. Normally, continental drift just drifts along without you ever noticing, but eventually all this pushing and shoving takes its toll. After all, there's only so much pressure a plate can take. The crumbling crust at the edges of the plate gets weaker and weaker, and this is where volcanoes are born. There are two places where the crust gets particularly weak and wobbly. 1. Spreading seafloor. In some places, two plates are pulled further and further apart until crack. Bubbling magma wells up through the crack, hits the cold sea ladder, and forms long chains of underwater volcanoes. Most undersea volcanoes erupt so deep down that, unless you're some sort of deep sea fish, you don't really notice them. They tend to ooze out lava gently, rather than explode with a bang. That's nice. 2. Going under. In other places, two plates collide. One plate is dragged down under the other. Deep inside the earth, it melts into magma, which then rises up through cracks in the crust and erupts as a volcano. These violent volcanoes usually happen along the coast, where a crusty plate of seabed is dragged under a crusty plate of land. Cough. Choke. Odious ocean. Dragged under. Plate 1. Plate melts. Plate 2. Magma rises. Hotspots. A third type of volcano has nothing to do with drifting continents. It's called a hotspot volcano. To spot a hotspot, you need to look at the middle of a plate where a stream of magma rises up from the mantle. It punches a hole in the crust to form a volcano. Over billions of years, the hotspot stays still, but the plate above it crawls slowly over it. As it does so, the old volcanoes die, but new holes are punched to make new volcanoes. Slowly, really, really slowly, over millions and millions of years, a chain of volcanoes builds up. This is how the volcanic islands of exotic Hawaii and the Pacific Ocean came into being. Peace and quiet above, but below, magma. Hubba bubba bail and trouble. Earth-shattering fact. And if violent Earth volcanoes weren't enough, what about volcanoes in outer space? Most of these are long dead, but not all. At the last count, there were 1,728 active volcanoes on violent planet Venus, precisely 228 more than on Earth. And even there on Io, one of Jupiter's moons, they spit out plumes of stinking sulfur gas up to 300 kilometers high, which is pretty good spitting by anyone's standards. Sleeping beauties. But don't be fooled. One thing to remember about volcanoes is that you can't trust them, not an inch. Volcanoes are terribly unpredictable. Officially, volcanoes go through three phases, though not necessarily in this order. These are 1. Active. A volcano that is erupting now or has erupted in the past. Some volcanoes are more active than others. Some erupt almost all the time. Don't panic. The last volcano in the UK stopped being active about 50 million years ago. Even teachers can't remember that far back. This one's simmering nicely. 2. Dormant. A volcano that isn't erupting now, but probably will in the future. Dormant means asleep. That doesn't mean it's not dangerous. A dormant volcano can sleep peacefully for weeks, months, and even centuries on end, and suddenly wake up. And generally speaking, the longer it snoozes, the bigger the bang next time. Shh. 3. Extinct. A volcano that has stopped erupting and isn't likely to erupt again. A dead volcano, probably. Even dead, a volcano is dangerous. Take Tristan da Cunha, for example, a volcanic island in the South Atlantic Ocean. Everyone thought it was long extinct until one day in October 1961, when Tristan da Cunha suddenly blew its top. To escape, the 280 islanders took to the sea in their boats. It was 2 long years before they were allowed home again. What do you mean I row for the first 2 years, then it's your turn? Violent volcanic facts to test your teacher. How many violent volcanoes are there on Earth? How big is the biggest ever? Where do most volcanoes erupt?